Good morning to each and every one of you. It is a privilege for me to be here and to speak with you on this topic that has been heavy on my heart. And as I tell you that I don't speak often, but when I do speak, this is a message that God has given to me, and it applies to me first as it applies to others. Let us pray. Eternal Father in heaven, you have told us that you would come again. You've told us, Father, as you told the disciples, that the same way that they saw you ascend into heaven, that every eye would see you when you come again. And Lord, you would not have your children to be ignorant about your coming, Lord. You want us to be prepared so that we can spend eternity with you. So Lord, we ask that you would let your Holy Spirit abide here with you. I ask, O Lord, that you would let me decrease and that the Holy Spirit will be the one that speaks the words that I've prepared. Lord, I've prepared them, but I'm going to be led by what the Holy Spirit has. And Lord, I ask that you would meet the needs of all of those in the congregation today, Lord. You know their needs. You know their hearts. Again, we thank you and praise you for all of the blessings and benefits that you have given to us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, I am going to... did not take the portable mic because sometimes I have to take my glasses off to read and see the word. But I'm going to read the 44th verse of Matthew 24. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And that is where the subject of my message is: will you be ready when Jesus returns? Now, Jesus doesn't want us to be ignorant about his returning. So therefore, if he has given, and I will only elaborate only a five of those signs that he has given that talks to us personally about how we can be ready when he comes. He wants us to be ready because he desires that none of us should perish, because he is a God of love. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, in the 3rd verse, to be ready when Jesus comes, we must have the trust and faith of a child. Jesus said, "Assuredly I say unto you, unless ye be converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Converted. That means we must have confessed our sins and turned from them and asked God to let the righteousness of Jesus cover our sins. Now, why did Jesus use children, or little children, as an example of how our hearts and minds need to be? Well, first of all, children love unconditionally. And they do not care what your status is. They don't care what color car you drive. They don't care about your money, the color of your skin. They take you just the way you are. And the other one is that children share readily. And some of you have heard this story, but it just sticks in my heart and amazed me. When we had BBS this year, there was a young boy, and this was in the 5 and age category. And he had, he was allergic to the sprinklers you put on cookies, and that's what we had for refreshments. So when they came in to eat, they all sat around their table, and, you know, the kids had, you know, their sprinkles on top of their cookies and stuff. And they all looked over and noticed that this little boy didn't have any sprinkles on his cookies. So they got up, took their sprinkles, and went to share them with this little boy because they wanted him to have what they had. So So that is the kind of heart Jesus wants us to have, to be. Children are willing to share. Children forgive readily. They may fuss and they may fight, but at the next moment, they are back playing together. What a lesson we as adults can learn. They don't hold grudges. They don't seek to gain an advantage over others. They don't seek revenge. And what else does a child do? A child takes you at your word. If we say we will do this in 10 minutes, now they may come back every 2 minutes, but they'll be asking you, is it time yet? Is it time yet? So we as parents need to be very careful when we promise our children that we will do something. One thing that we can be assured of is that all of the promises that Jesus has made to us, he will fulfill them, so we can have that confidence. Children care about the simple things in life. They live in the present. They say, let's go play. Let's go swimming. Let's go hit the ball. They don't think about tomorrow. Jesus tells us, today is the day of your salvation. Each day you need to be assured in your heart that you are ready for Jesus' coming. Secondly, if we are to be ready when Jesus comes, we must be abiding in the righteousness of Christ. Now, this is what Jesus said. He said, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I abide in him. I'd like to share with you a passage, and this is, for me, is always an affirmation, because I had my outline ready. And then when we did Bible study on Wednesday, there was a passage in the book called Desire of Ages by Ellen White, which I thought explained this passage very well. And she writes, to eat the flesh and drink the blood of Christ is to receive him as your personal Savior. Believing that he forgives your sins and that we are complete in him. It is beholding his love. It is dwelling upon it. It is drinking it, in that we begin to take on the very nature of Jesus Christ. What food is to our physical bodies, Christ must be to our souls, she says. She says, food cannot benefit us unless we eat it. No matter how much we smell it and the aroma smells good, it doesn't benefit us until we eat it. So with Christ, he is no value to us until we get to know him as our personal Savior. My mother can't know him for me. My husband can't know him for me. I must know him for myself. A theoretical knowledge of Christ is no good. We must feed upon him, receive him into our hearts, so that his life becomes our life, so that his love and his grace become assimilated into us. We cannot be ready when Jesus returns unless we abide in him and unless his righteousness covers our sins. For scripture tells us that sin and a sinner cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. We must feed on Jesus by faith. Daily, we must die to self. Now, the world is making it very difficult for us to crucify self. And you know what I thought about? I thought about these selfies that these people are taking nowadays. Now, you know, out everybody want to take a picture of themselves. But we must crucify self. And we must lift up our eyes into the hills to Jesus Christ. We must make him our personal Savior. We must believe that his death on the cross and that his resurrection is our only hope for eternal life. We must believe that Jesus is that sacrificial lamb who takes away the sins of the world. As John the Baptist said, as he behold Christ coming to be baptized, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. We must believe that there is no other name under the sun whereby we may be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. We must be satisfied with Christ and Christ alone. He must be the center of our lives. The third thing that we need to do to be sure that we are ready when Jesus comes again is that we need to watch and to pray. The scriptures here are found in Matthew, the 26th chapter, the 37th through the 40th verse. We all know the story that after he had done the Lord's Supper with them, that they went to the Mount of Olives, out into the Garden of Gethsemane, he and his disciples. And he took with him Peter, John, and James. And there he began to share with them this feeling that he had with them. He says, "My heart is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch with me." And we know that Jesus went up a little farther, and then he fell on his knees, and he communed with his Father, asking his Father if he would take this cup from him. But then he conceded, "Father, not my will, but let your will be done." When he returned, what did he find? He found that the disciples were asleep. And he said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me just 1 hour?" He said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." That's why we have to be watchful and prayerful, because this flesh is always willing to give in to what Satan puts out here in the world for us. We must always be in a prayerful and watchful state if we are to be ready when Jesus returns. Daily we must crucify self. We must crucify the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the cares of this world. Our eyes must be lifted up and focused on Jesus and the will that he has for our lives. You're not to look at your brother, your sister, any other Christians to do comparison. You must say to yourself, "What is my relationship with the Lord?" We must watch against every snare, every sin, every temptation, every worldly care. Because folks, whether you know it or not, Satan is out there. He knows his time is short. And so he is trying to do everything he can to divert our attention away from Jesus Christ. We must pray continually for a fresh supply of the grace that we may count it worthy to stand before God. Paul in Romans 11 and 1 Corinthians 16 and 13 says, Paul admonishes us that it is high time that we wake up out of our sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believe. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. We must not become content with the fact that I know Jesus. We must be willing to go out and spread this love abroad. In 1 Corinthians 16 and 13, Paul says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, strong. Let all that you do be done in love." The fourth thing that we need to do to be ready when Jesus comes is that we must love one another. Jesus said, and this is found in John 13:35, "By this shall all people know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." To be ready when Jesus comes, we must have love in our hearts for our family, our church members, our enemies, those who persecute us and bear false witness against us, those who despitefully use us. We are warned that before Jesus returns, men's heart will grow cold. Their minds will stray from God's commandments. False teaching and worldly influence and the spirit of wickedness will rule. Does that not sound like what's going on today? We must be anchored in Jesus Christ and his word. if we are to be ready when he comes. Paul tells us that men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful. They'll be proudful. They'll be without control. They'll be despisers of that which is good. Nowadays, that which is good is called evil, and that which is evil is called good. He says that there will be a spirit of unloving, unforgiveness in the time, and that we must be on guard if we were to be ready when he comes. Scripture tells us that love does our neighbor no harm. Love seeks to live peacefully with all men. If anyone says that I love God and hates his brother, the Bible says he's a liar. So he says, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, now I can see you with my physical eye, and cannot love him, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And that's found in 1 John 4 and 20. So we must not harbor in our hearts any anger, any malice, any bitterness, any envy, any jealousy against our brothers. John tells us to love one another, for love is from God. And whosoever love has been born of God and knows God. Beloved, if God loved us, we ought to also love one another. The Bible tells us that the Bible covers a multitude of sins, that love covers a multitude of sin. So if we have love for one another, then we will not let the petty things get in our way. We will not let it separate us and to keep us from speaking to one another, to keep us from helping one another. John 3, verses 16 and 17, and 1 Corinthians 13 should be read each day by us if we are to love one another as God has loved us. And I think most of us know those verses very well that tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then when you get to 1 Corinthians, you know, he just does a litany of the things that love does and love does not do. So if we take those verses and just look at our lives daily, we will have a good example of what God would have us to do. John verses 14, chapter 14, verses 15, 21, and 23. If we are to be ready when Jesus comes, we must love Jesus and we must keep his commandments. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He also states, he who has my commandments and keep them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. In other words, this will be done by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that he will give to us. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home in him. John the Beloved writes in 1 John 2, verses 3 through 5. Now by this we know that we know Jesus, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandment, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. You know, this word liar, you know, it tells us here that the things that we do. Here it said, earlier it said that if we say that we love our brothers, we hate our brothers and we love God, we're a liar. He says that if you say that you love me and you don't keep my commandments and do that which I say, you're a liar. He is very explicit. And there are many other verses in which he tells us what it is that we need to do to be ready when he comes. Obedience to God's commandments is our way of showing him that we love him, not by words only. We can find a lot of people who can espouse the love of God, but we must do this in deed, and we must do it in truth. Those who desire to be saved, those who desire to be ready when Jesus comes, they must be those who are willing to be saved by God's appointed way, and not by the way of their own choosing or that of the world. God is explicit in his word of how we are to be saved, and how we are to be ready when he returns. We know that he says that if we accept him, that we have salvation. But the story doesn't end there. It doesn't stop there, not as long as you are living and breathing. You are seeking to be sanctified by his Holy Spirit, to lay aside all of the weights of the world that doth so be easily beset us, to show who he is and who God is. Reflect on Jesus' life. That's why God sent him here, not only to save us from our sins, but to show us how we can live a perfect life if Jesus is with us. Now, I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on your own. And we are going to fall to here and there. But we have that precious promise that he says that if we confess our sins, that Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us from our sins. But then he adds that caveat, not only to forgive us for our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As Paul has said one thing, that in this fleshly body, the things that I don't want to do are the things that I do. And the things that I want to do are the things that I don't do. So we can only do that as we are obedient to the will of Jesus Christ. So will you be ready when Jesus comes? I've only listed 5 things here that the scripture tells us that we should be. We should have the faith of a little child. We should be abiding in Christ's righteousness. We should be watchful and prayerful because we know not the hour when he cometh. We should love one another because God is love. And we should love Jesus and keep his commandment. Will you be ready when Jesus returns? Heed ye the words of the Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us a map to eternal life, that you have showed us how we can be prepared for your coming, Lord, that you want us to be workers in the vineyard for you, Lord. You want us to be that church that is without spot and without wrinkle. And Lord, the church is not the building in which we sit in. The church are your people who have claimed your name and said that they are Christians. Lord, we ask that you would let your Holy Spirit to continue to lead us into all truths, Lord, that he will comfort us in time of need, that he would admonish us when we are not walking in the path that you would have us to do. So Lord, this day, help us to put on Jesus Christ, that we may be ready to be lifted up in the air with him when he returns, to be able to spend eternity with you. Lord, we thank you so much that you know that you desire that none of your children should perish. But Lord, that is a choice that each of us must make individually, whether we choose you, who is life, or whether we choose Satan, who is death. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.